Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. Today I want to get back into our series we started a little bit ago called We Are. And we're looking at the reason that we are as a church, you know what I mean? Why we're here and what we're to be doing and where we're going. I think it's good every so often to check the map. How about you? Amen. It's good every so often to kind of check the map. That's what we're doing with this series. Why we're here. You know, what is all this about? I mean, why do we get together? So we're looking at those things. Of course, we know that our foundation for everything is Jesus Christ. Amen. Bottom line, we are because of Jesus Christ. Romans 11 says this, everything comes from the Lord. All things were made because of him and will return to him. Praise the Lord forever. He's the reason you and I exist. Imagine this thought. God needed you and I in the earth at this time right now. What a powerful, powerful thought, huh? That God needed us and he wanted us in the earth. And so here we are. He's the reason that we have purpose. He's the reason that we have hope. And so the last time we were together, we was looking at this thought that we are family. So let's get along. Let's just get along, right? I mean, God placed us together. And so we might as well set aside those things that kind of cause us to get a little agitated. We'll call it. Is that a better word than just plain old irritated? I'm just mad. I'm not going to say some of the words I hear some of y'all say. It's not appropriate in church. But we'll just say we just get upset. Yeah. And so I think it would be good for us just to go ahead and just decide. We're on this journey together anyways. So why don't we just go ahead and get along? We saw in Ephesians chapter 4 where the Bible says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place for the devil. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. What we have to remember is that this isn't a suggestion, but this is a commandment from God. And here's the reason why is because we have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. How many understand that? My dad said that all the time. And here's why he said that, because it's true. And the cost is great to miss heaven. There's too much at stake for us to be bickering amongst ourselves and just let petty things just dig in and dig in and dig in until we just say, bump them, I'm done. Anger and bitterness and rage and brawling, all those things produce unrighteousness, and they're counterproductive to reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. The Bible said that he would that none should perish, but all come to repentance. And so that's our focus. That's what we want to make sure. And so we don't want to let those things separate us. We don't want those things to divide us to the point to where we're just not going to be able to get along. Don't let that truth sink into your heart too late, because there'll come a day when you wish you'd have let it go. Let that day be today where you just go ahead. I mean, it's not worth it. So today I want to continue with our message or our theme, We Are Family. But here's what I want to look at today. Our thought for today is this: let's work together. We're family, so let's go ahead and work together. Now, Kelly, would you come down? Jill, would you help me? I'm convinced that one of the most powerful forces in the earth today is a family that works together. Amen. Did you know that the foundation of the human race is the family unit? You understand that, right? And so as a family, I think it's important that we work together. I think that a family that decides to work together can do just about anything they put their minds to. So honey, would you get on one end? And Kelly, would you get on that end? Now, let's just say, just for the fun of it, that our responsibility as a family is to take this table and to move it from this location over by the door, because when everybody goes out, we need that table over there. So that's what we're supposed to do as a family. Now, tell me something. Now, Jill is in her place and Kelly is in her place. Now, what if I just decided to do like this? And I'm just kind of laying on this table and I'm just relaxing and I'm just having me a nice time because I think this is where my place is. Now, tell me something. You be careful. Know that I'm not the lightest person in the room. And yet our job, our assignment, regardless, you got to understand this. No matter what, our assignment is this table has to go from here to there. And so we got to work together. So, okay, ladies. Now, who is working with who? I mean, they're ready to go. I'm ready to go. But am I working with them? Or am I working against them? Now, you from the outside can see what's happening because you kind of got a view from the outside. But I'm on the inside. This feels pretty good. I mean, it's been a long day. You just don't understand, Pastor, how the week is gone. But the table's got to get over there. And so my family has to work together to get it over there. Now, if we're going to go under the current circumstances, what's going to happen? There's going to be a greater burden placed on them because I'm not in my place. Because I'm not working together. See what I mean? Now, in about 3 seconds, this is going to get a whole lot easier. 3, 2, 1. I'm in my place. I'm not going to be a burden. I'm going to help lift the burden. And with all three of us, ain't nothing but a thing. We can do it because we're working together, right? Because each one of us are in our place. Thank you, ladies. As a family, each and every one of us have a place that God's called us to be. And in that place is our purpose. In that place is our provision. Everything that you need to do whatever God's called you to do is going to be in your place. You see what I mean? And so with each of us in our place working together, a whole lot more can be accomplished. And yet, how many people feel more comfortable laying on the table? And some don't even realize that they're laying on the table, that they're not standing on the side ready to help to lift. And it's simply because maybe they're confused about their place. They're not sure what God's called them to do. They're not sure, and so on. You know, and so there is some legitimate reasons to it. We automatically assume they're just lazy or they just don't want to do anything. But there are times when, yeah, sometimes we just are not sure. And so we'd like to lay out a few things today, just some very simple and basic things that will help us work together as a family. Because that's how God designed us. That's how God brought us together so that we can accomplish so much more. And so as a family, what has God called us to do? He's called us to bring people to life in Christ. That's why we exist as a church family, is to bring people to life in Christ, to bring them to health in their spirit, in their soul, and in their body. So what does that look like? Well, today I want to look at this from two perspectives, what it looks like inside the house, and then what it looks like outside of the house. Amen. All right, so Hebrews chapter 10, let's start with verse 23. We must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith because the one who made the promise, talking about Jesus, is faithful. And we must also consider how we can encourage each other to show love and to do good deeds. And we should not stop gathering together with other believers as some of you are doing, but instead we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. So how do we work together to bring people to life in Christ inside of the house? Well, verse 23 says we must hold firmly to our declaration of faith. So what does that mean? Our declaration is simple. It's faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of people have absolutely no idea about the joy in the Lord and experience the things that we do. They're still searching. And they're still trying. They're still struggling in life. I'm not saying we don't struggle, but I'm telling you something. It's a lot different when you are working with Jesus. a lot of people believe in money. And a lot of people, when they have lost their money, have lost everything. A lot of people put faith in all kinds of things. Maybe they put their faith in their job or in a subsidy or in something. And there's going to come a day when those things will be gone, or those things will falter or will fail you in some way, shape, or form. Someday those things will let you down. And so what happens in that time when you are let down? If your faith is in Christ, then that's all the difference in the world. So that's why we put our faith in Christ. Listen, a lot of people find out when they stand before God that they place their trust in something else. And baby, that's not the time to find out you was wrong. And so our declaration of faith is in Christ. Hallelujah. It's in Jesus Christ. Bless the name of the Lord. So as a family, we're committed to the gospel. We're committed to the gospel. There again, in the world that we live in, we've got to be clear about which gospel we preach, what we believe in. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation. And there is no other foundation that can be laid. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the one that we proclaim. You see, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, that He was born of a virgin, that He lived a sinless life, and that He gave His life on a cruel cross for the sins of mankind. We believe that though He died, God raised Him from the dead. And even now, we believe that He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And He has been given all power and all authority, and He is the head of the church, and He is Jesus, and I'm so glad for that. Can you say amen? Amen. We believe that He is the only way to heaven. We believe that He is our Savior, that He is our healer, that He is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and we believe that one day, soon, He is coming back for us. We firmly believe that Jesus Christ is the gospel, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. It is Jesus Christ. So as a family, we're committed to the gospel. But also, inside the house, we're committed to give. Look at verse 24. He said, we must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and to do good works. Now, we understand that it takes money to pay the mortgage and the light bill and to keep our building maintained and all those things, but I'm not talking about in the context of giving finances. The kind of giving that I'm talking about today is the kind of giving that creates an atmosphere inside of this house that produces love and promotes good deeds. Let me say that again. The kind of giving that we're talking about today is the kind of giving that creates an atmosphere by which love is produced and good deeds happen all the time. So how do we do that? Well, the bottom line is simple. It's you give yourself over to the Holy Spirit. The only way this thing's going to work is if we're led by the Spirit of God. We could try all kinds of things, but if God is not in it and is not leading us, then our efforts are in vain. God has to be the one that builds the house. And so we must follow after Him. We must follow after the Holy Spirit. We follow His leading. We've probably read this scripture 1,000 times in Galatians chapter 5, but I want to read it to you one more time. But if you can, take a minute and listen closely to the words that the Holy Spirit has given to us to help us. Galatians 5, starting with verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, or in other words, the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work inside of us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you struggle in any one of those areas in your journey called life? Do you struggle with patience? Do you struggle to have peace? Do you struggle with self-control? Do you struggle with any of those kinds of things? Listen, whatever you struggle with, if you'll give that area over to the Holy Spirit, He has the ability to produce within inside of you those things you're believing Him for. Give you the power to overcome impatience, a lack of self-control, and so on. The Holy Spirit is the one that produces that power inside of you. And you know what happens? What's produced on the inside will show on the outside. And when that happens, it'll create an atmosphere inside of this house that when people come in, they'll sense the love of God. They'll see our good deeds. And you know what? And they'll praise our Father in heaven. But we have to be committed to give. Look at verse 25. We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other, and even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. You see, in this scripture, we're given three things. First of all, a reality. Secondly, a reminder. And then thirdly, we're given a requirement. The reality is this, is that there is a falling away of attendance in church, of gathering together with brothers and sisters in Christ. But then He gives us this reminder. Jesus is coming soon. And so in light of those two things, He gives us this simple requirement, and that's this, is that we must continually encourage each other to come together. And so as a family, we're committed to gather, committed to the gospel, committed to give, but also as a family, we're committed to gather. One thing Satan will consistently try to do is to isolate you from your brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's no coincidence that he does that. But he's very strategic in his efforts to separate you from your brothers and sisters in Christ, because God created us to live in community. Why would you think that God would do that? Because I'll tell you something, there's greater supply in numbers. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. It doesn't just double, but it becomes exponential. It's amazing at how much more work is produced when someone comes alongside someone else and they move together as one. Also, there's support in numbers. Why should I come and gather at that place? Because you'll find support. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. Pity the one who does not have a friend to help them. He says also, if two lie down together, they can keep each other warm. But also, there's security in numbers. He says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. I know oftentimes it's easier to sleep in for a few more hours on a Sunday morning. I know most family outings are planned on Sunday. I know that for many, Sunday is the only day off that you get, and the beach is only 90 minutes away, and the lake's only 10 minutes away, and they're very inviting. But the truth of the matter is simple. It's this. It's important that we stop everything that we're doing, and on the first day of the week, we gather together and honor God and worship God. And make this simple declaration that without you, I can do nothing. So I'm going to give you the first part of my week so that the rest of my week will be blessed as I follow after you. You see, there's things that you need in your arsenal to successfully navigate life that you'll only receive here from the Lord in a corporate setting. And you need to be here. So I think that it would behoove you and I to make a special effort to continually encourage one another to gather together. Who's not here today? Who can you encourage to be here next week? It's simple. It's not difficult. Just say, we missed you. You would be amazed at the power of a simple word of encouragement in the ear of someone who might be thinking even right now, does anybody care? Does anybody notice? Is anybody watching? Never forget, we'll always be better together. So what about outside of the house? How can we work together outside of the house to bring people to life in Christ? While we're family, we're individual parts of that family. And so we have individual roles to play outside of the house, just like inside of the house. But when we're outside of these four walls, in our communities and in our jobs and in the marketplace and so on, we have a role to fill that when done by all of us will fulfill our corporate mission. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so what does that look like? Let's start right back again with verse 23. Continually hold firm to your declaration of faith. So while we're committed to the gospel inside of the house, outside of the house, we purpose to live the gospel. The Holy Spirit revealed to Paul, and he wrote to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." A lot of folk are intimidated to speak the gospel. But the reality of it is that more people will see us living the gospel than will ever hear us share the gospel. More people are watching us and will see us living out the gospel than will ever have opportunity to stop and to share with them the gospel story. So here's the question, what are they seeing? And I don't say that in a negative or a condemning way because we're human and I understand that we're not perfect. And that's just the way that it is. You see, but here's the deal. Even though you and I aren't perfect, we are still letters that are being read by those round about us. And so I think that we should be mindful of that fact. And every day as we go about our business, ask the Holy Spirit to help us to live out the gospel to our family, to our neighbor, to the one we work with, at the store where we buy our groceries, in our community. Does that make sense? And when we do that, as we live out the gospel in front of people, we'll fulfill our family mission. Amen. Look at verse 24. But let's also consider how to encourage each other to show love and to do good deeds. Inside the house, we're committed to give, but outside the house, we need to have this mindset that we live to give. Live to give. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 2. He said, "Preach the message and be ready whether it's convenient or not. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and instruction." What was he telling him? He was simply telling him to be ready to share the gospel in any situation. Just be ready. And so the takeaway for us is the same, is that we should be ready to give throughout our day. You say, "Well, Pastor, what are we supposed to give?" You give whatever you have that will bring life and health to someone in need. Simple. For one, it might be patience. They kind of snap at you on the job, and you know that's not normally them. You know, so your first thought is, "Well, I'm just going to give them grace for that because that's normally not who they are, so they must, something must be going on." You know, not snap, bow up, and, "Well, who do you think you are?" For another, it may be correction in love. You see something that's going to take them down a path that they wish they had never gone. And so you take a moment, and in love, you share. For another, it could be a meal. It could be a hamburger. It could be whatever. So, you know, it might be a ride to work for somebody or an encouraging word. It might be praying for someone in a specific situation. The idea is just to be ready as we go through our days. You see, when we live to give, we're simply being a channel through which the life of Christ can come into someone's situation and bring them into health, spirit, soul, and body. Finally today, look at verse 25. We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing instead, but we continue to encourage each other, even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. And so inside the house, we commit to gather, but outside of the house, I think we should live to gather. Now, what do I mean by that? Have you ever heard of this term, divine appointments? Divine appointments are when God brings you to a specific place at a specific time for a specific reason. David had a divine appointment with a giant called Goliath. And the result of that encounter got him to the palace. Saul had a divine appointment on the road to Damascus with Jesus. And he was called into the ministry. His name was changed to Paul, and his life was never the same. Jesus said, I have to go through Samaria, because he had a divine appointment with a woman at a well, and her life would be changed as well as her community. From one divine appointment, throughout our lifetime, God orchestrates divine appointments. It's not just an ordinary meeting, but it's a divinely ordained gathering. And we need to live our lives in such a way that when he does, that we're aware something is different about this moment. There again, as I was talking earlier, as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and we just have a mindset that whatever it takes, I'm going to give. And then when that divine appointment comes, you just allow the Lord to work through you, to flow through you. And you'll be amazed at what can happen in someone's life with one appointment set up by God. It could change everything. Let me encourage you not to complicate this thing with all kinds of extra steps and all kinds of extra formulas that in the long run simply slow down the gospel. You ever heard of red tape? Red tape slows down the gift to the recipient. Have you ever been at a place where you need something now? I have a structured settlement and I need cash now. I need it now. Not a week from now. I'm talking about it's right now. And if something doesn't happen, it's all going to fall apart. You've been there. I know you have, because I have too. And in that divine moment, God saw fit, even a zillion years ago, he saw that moment and he orchestrated a divine appointment so that someone would come in and make a difference for my family. And it's because they didn't complicate it. They just said, Lord, here am I, send me. I don't have much, but it's all yours. Whatever you want, take. So let's not complicate it. Let's not slow the gospel down. Let's just keep it simple. Like when Jesus said, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we just get that part down, everything else will fall into place. Amen. If we could just get that down, I believe without question that when we all stand before the Lord, we'll hear these simple words, well done. Well done. You didn't complicate the gospel. You just lived it out. You're just ready in the moment. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about the warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.